Okay, so Paul, if you could just sort of start us off by talking about Northern Ireland, that's currently in the news because of the post-Brexit agreement, and people have started to talk again about borders. You mentioned at the top. So again, how might primary history contribute to helping students think about this topic?
Right. I think just as a starting point, I think the important thing when we're looking at Ireland, Northern Ireland or Ireland generally, is to sort of think about what it means here in throughout these islands as a whole. Alan McCulloch's done some fantastic work in terms of the situation for the communities within Northern Ireland, in terms of how they can address their different histories at all levels. I think the issue over here is so often it's treated as the other. It's actually not actually properly considered in terms of the history of the rest of this country, certainly England's history or Britain's history, until later with older children, you get talking about the late 20th century troubles, inverted commas. And I think many, many issues with this, and I think it others them. Ireland, and it doesn't give a proper understanding of the context and the way it affects all of our histories. Now, clearly, the recent debates are going to be matters that are primarily going to be discussed with older children. Doesn't mean it doesn't crop up in the primary school. I've spoken to teachers who have actually made links with it, but clearly, there's this time that there's the opportunities to develop with older children. So where does it actually fit into the primary curriculum? Well, I think to start with, again, there are opportunities to, when you're looking at significant people, to include those from Ireland, including at Key Stage One, for example, and I'll come back to people like Grace O'Malley, but also, the Saints, St. Patrick, etc., as an example, St. Brendan, etc., are all examples of people you could actually include there, should you wish. Particularly though, considering it Key Stage Two, I think there are a number of places where it's important. And I think it's if you in terms of this period before 1066, we should be thinking about these islands rather than really what is often a study of what ends up, if you're not help if you don't think consider it properly, England. So again, drawing an Irish dimension within these islands is important. So if you're looking at prehistoric times, you could look at remains, for example, of religious sites, etc., in Ireland, along with Scotland and Wales, as well as Stonehenge, for example. If you're looking at Roman Britain, it's well, why do you, we've touched on this before, but why did they come to certain parts of these islands? But why didn't they invade Ireland? They did talk about it. Why not? And what were the implications of this? If you're looking at the Anglo, what we term as the post-Roman period, again, much of England was ultimately invaded by Anglo-Saxons, but also people came from Ireland. There were invasions to start with in parts of Western England, but more important, the Celtic Church. This was a phenomenal period of growth in Ireland and importance in terms of learning through the expansion of the monasteries, etc., in Ireland during this period. And of course, the Celtic Church spread to both what we now call Scotland or Pictland, and or in the west places like Iona and into northern England. And to understand things like the Synod of Whitby, for example, you've got to understand the strength of what was happening with the spread of religious faiths from what we now call Ireland, to understand why there should have been this big debate between the Roman aspect of faith and what was actually coming from the other side of the country. So there are tremendous
I think there
opportunities
as
there.
well. I think in that point of view too. Again, it's getting children to understand that it's more than just the date of Easter. That actually the Celtic Church thought about things in a very different way to the Roman Church. It was far less paternalistic than the Church of Rome was, because obviously it's following the Roman system, whereas the Celtic system was much more powerful in relation to viewing women's roles within the church, you know, and I think we really lost out at the Synod of Whitby. I think it would, we'd have been quite different if things had gone differently at that point.
A great point there. And I think that's that, again, we're getting back to this complexity of the past that we can actually provide children with actually bringing in this Irish dimension here. What we're doing here, of course, is we're showing that an Irish dimension, and again, I'd apply this to other parts of these islands, actually adds to our understanding of where we are today without actually thinking in terms of issues that we actually think of in the contemporary time.
I think we might also look at those communities that are within us but not always recognized by us. So, you know, we accept there's the Irish community, we know that they do Irish dancing, and you know, they're gonna be at the Catholic Church. There are all sorts of suppositions we make about them. But the same is true about the travelling community, for example. You know, this month there's a really nice article in Primary History about Roma and the travelling community in Britain. It's also true about something like the Polish community, which has been here for a lot longer than the more recent, you know, pre-Brexit type thing. And perhaps because these people don't stand out, the Jewish community, they don't stand out in the same way that you would coming from the Afro-Caribbean, you know, because your skin colour is the same. But nevertheless, you are other amongst us. And listening to those different stories is, I think, something we could be doing.
Exactly. And again, getting into this whole idea of migration, of course, with Irish migration. Again, the Parrott report here 20 years ago was talking about the Irish as the insiders, outsiders, because of that idea of not being obviously identified because of colour of skin. If I move on to the periods post 1066, again, clearly you need to give a background to the current context. And again, much of that's in secondary school. You can't just look at the issues of the late 20th century without understanding the relationship between Ireland and England since then. Now, clearly, that's important that's undertaken with our colleagues in secondary schools. But equally, in primary school, if certain topics, you need that understanding. Now, for example, if I give an example like Grace O'Malley, a topic you could teach at Key Stage 1 in terms of she was a queen in the Western area of Ireland in County Mayo and around County Clare around there, and she was actually powerful in her own right before the time of the plantations, and the background to much of her issues was her conflict with the English coming over there in the Elizabethan period. Now, you're not going to be dealing with the complexities of that Key Stage 1, but the debate of, you know, was Grace O'Malley a pirate? Is actually raises many issues about her as a person, but also the background to that. The teachers need to be aware of that to understand where that comes from. And again, at Key Stage 2, again, I think should be a wonderful topic, Key Stage 2, if you did emotional graphs, perhaps comparing her experiences in terms of the change of the time with Mary, Queen of Scots, and Elizabeth I. And again, all of them encountered different ways the impact of the Reformation and religious conflict, and again with very different consequences for each of them. And again, that's a way in which you can develop these topics in a way that's appropriate at Key Stage 2, but again providing a foundation for children at Key Stage 3 to actually look at the Elizabethan and Cromwellian plantations in greater detail. So again, and that leads on to obviously the issues that we're more aware of in the more recent past. So I think it's that idea of with this topic is it has a presence in the primary curriculum that's really important as a basis for providing a basis for looking at the issues that become more complex as we get towards the present day that they'll deal with when they're older.